Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be wrapping up 2 Timothy today. And I've said this each week, the prior 3 weeks in the chapter, but just in case you've missed those, just that this is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to his protege Timothy while he was in prison, coming to the end of his life. And important words in this letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, that's happening, isn't it? I see it even within the church, and it breaks my heart, to be quite honest with you. As your pastor, yes, we have the gospel of God's love and his mercy through Jesus Christ, but my goal is not to always tell you something uplifting. Sometimes we need to hear tough words, don't we? Even if they hurt. That's the only way that we are convicted of our sin, is to speak truth in love. But too many times a day in the church, and certainly outside of the church, you know, people that don't have Christ are supposed to act lost, you know, but when we're within the church, when we're the body of Christ, we're supposed to be different. But too many times, even within the church, we gather around us teachers to say what our itching ears want to hear. You know, if I'm in some sort of sin in my life, what better thing than to have the preacher stand up and say, "That's okay, that's okay." We like that, don't we? Paul was talking about it to Timothy 2,000 years ago. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, church, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Don't you want Jesus to say that when you meet him face to face? You fought the fight. You finished the race. I have a crown of righteousness in store for you. Verse 9, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus. This 2 Timothy is killing me, man, with these names. I don't know about y'all. But anyway, Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his kingdom, to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. and that your word is just. And we pray now for you to send your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak with power and authority, even though that's the only way you speak. Come in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we finished this series on 2 Timothy, which has been entitled Finish Strong. Just recapping quickly, the first week was Breaking Bad Attitudes. Anybody remember one bad attitude? Fear, got that one down. Anybody remember a second one? Say it again. Regret. Does anybody remember the third one? Shame. You're kind of like me and Cheryl. Collectively, y'all make one good person. I like that. Week two was begin with the end in mind, that to finish strong, that God is calling us to be people of integrity and realize that people are precious. I loved the children's sermon this morning, Miss Carlene, how she had that directory in there with the Bible, because God sees us as precious. And who was that? There was somebody here that one that week. They loved that because they thought I was specifically talking about them. I've never had the preacher call me precious before. And also, the last thing on that was to remember that to keep the first thing first. And the first thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about being under the influence, how watching for the things that influence us in our life, how we are to avoid the wrong people. That doesn't mean, you know, shun people that are lost and don't have Jesus. It just means to watch the people that are influencing our behavior, to avoid the influence of the wrong people, to learn from godly people, find people who are after the heart of Christ. And I see that so many times with our older generation. I see so many, it's like, man, they're finishing strong. And I like to watch them and learn from them. And also last week, to stay connected to God's Word. This week, today, running the home stretch. As I was thinking about that concept, I think about this relay where we're handed the baton, and you hold out your hand, you're handed the baton of the faith, and you are running that final leg in the relay. And it took me back to my sixth grade year, 1972. Yeah, it was a long time ago, bro. Long time ago. But you've heard me say I grew up, I loved athletics, and I played all kinds of sports, but track was not my deal. You give me half a day, and I couldn't run out of sight. I mean, you know, I could, if I started, you know, like, we'll give you till noon, and it's like I'd still wouldn't be out of sight. But I love to play sports, but track wasn't my deal. But I remember this particular time, I had my sixth grade teacher, it happened to also be my coach, Mr. Neese. Mr. Neese came to mind, Mom, this week as I was thinking about this. Mr. Neese was old school. Wiley knew him. Coach Wise knew him. And he had a flat top, and I was telling him, "Wow, did you know Mr. Neese?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Remember that flat top?" He goes, "We all had flat tops." I said, "Well, yeah, I probably did." But he looked like a drill. He looked like Sergeant Carter. He's a little taller than Sergeant Carter, but I mean, and he was old school. Where I mean, he wouldn't get away with half the stuff he did today. I mean, if you were down in a football stance, you know, and you were in the wrong spot, you know, you'd catch a cleat up beside, you know, your rear end. "You're in the wrong place, Hatcher." You know, and so I'd have to move over. But you can't get away. You can grab the face mask. "Get over here where I'm telling you." But I loved him. I loved Mr. Neese. But do you remember the old, now it's called Curly Hayes Field, over here on Barrow Street, right across from Rose Park? But what? It was Fair Park Stadium. Wasn't that what they called it back in the day? And back then, and this was in the 70s, they had they had big bleachers on both sides of the field. And that was where actually the high school teams played back years ago, back in the days that Abilene High was the powerhouse in town. And they played at Fair Park Stadium. And they had the big bleachers. And when you ran the 4x400 relay, there was a couple of legs of that relay that where you ran under behind the bleachers. And you could just hear even in the stands, you could hear the people running under you, and then out they would come for that finish. Well, like I said, I was not a sprinter, but I think the other 10 guys were sick or something that day. And so Mr. Neese had me in the final leg, the final leg of the 4x400 relay. And I was scared. That wasn't my thing, you know. And I remember getting that baton, and it's like I felt like the whole field of runners was in front of me. And I started running, and something took over my body. I don't know what it was, but I started passing those guys. And no one was more shocked than me, okay? And so I started passing those guys, and I passed that guy, and then I passed that guy, and then I passed that guy. And I'm thinking, I got this going on. And I was running, and as I rounded the corner into that home stretch, I had two runners in front of me, and I had passed a bunch of guys already to get to that point. And I really felt like I was going to pass those last two guys and win the race for our team. And my body got a little bit ahead of my feet, and I fell. And I'd forgotten this story until I was starting to think about it. I fell face down on the track, and I got up and managed to make it to the end. I didn't hurt myself or anything. I managed to make it to the end, and I think was in last place. And I remember thinking, Mr. Neese is going to kill me. And I remember he pulled me aside, and he said, Jeff, that's the best I've ever seen you run. That's the best I've ever seen you run. And I remember thinking, he's proud of me. Mr. Neese was proud of me, not because I won the race, but because he could tell that my heart was in it, and I was running with all I had. Even though I fell, I finished the race. Now, I wish I could say, like the video I showed in the first week, where my finishing allowed our team to win the city title, but it didn't. I went to Fair Park Elementary. We were just really, really bad. And we didn't win anything. But I finished the race, and I remember Mr. Neese pulling me to his side and saying how proud he was of me as the best he had seen me run. You know, in life, I just remembered that story, and I remember thinking that, you know, God doesn't care if we're in first place. He just wants us to run with all our heart. And finishing is winning. Finishing strong is to finish it all. So I want us to look at this scripture a little bit closer today. And the, you know, I could preach the first five or six verses. It basically is he's given his charge to Timothy on what he's to do, and then he spends a few verses there talking about just the brokenness of our world, the brokenness that Timothy will find as he goes out in ministry. And I don't want to focus on that today. I want to focus on the latter half of this passage that is perhaps not as well known to us. The first thing is, to finish strong, I believe, church, we need to be prepared to go it alone. Notice that word, prepared to go it alone. It's not the way it's designed, because we're supposed to be the body of Christ, and we should all unite our hearts, and we should all be about God's business together, and we should have strength in the total body of Christ. But I want to look at what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, at my first offense. Now, if anybody deserved to have people rallying around them in their moment of need, other than Jesus himself, it was Paul. Because Paul had, think about the lost people he had saved, the churches he had established, the people he had supported over his ministry. And he says in verse 16, at my first offense, when the charges were brought against him, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. You ever feel like the little Christian fish swimming upstream? Show that little clip I got there, that little screen. You ever feel like that? Can you see it? Everybody else is swimming that way, and you're just, you know, hard as you can paddle, you're going the opposite way. Quite frankly, church, that should be the way we feel when we're in this world. If we're going with the flow, if everything is good, if we don't have some rub in our spirit, if there's something that doesn't just at the very core of who we are that just kind of drives us crazy, we're going with the flow. God's Word says that we're to be a peculiar people. There should be something different about us. We should be swimming upstream. But do you ever feel like you're the only fish swimming upstream? Paul did. And this is the same Paul who in the second chapter of 2 Timothy that we that we studied a couple of weeks ago, he said, I endure everything, all of his suffering, everything he goes through, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. So his entire focus was bringing people to Christ, ministering to people on behalf of Christ, but yet, in his moment of need, he's standing there being falsely accused just for spreading the gospel. No one came to his support. There's an old camp song, so if you've got to be over 40 to probably remember this, but it says this, I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember that? I know some. You remember it, Tim? Really? Dude. Who are you hanging out with? A bunch of old people or something? Okay. Though none go with me. Yeah, with you hanging around me at the office, right? Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. You know, and I referenced it a while ago, that video that first week where the runner, that high school runner, that girl was stumbling in the long distance race and she fell down. I don't know if you remember, but the guy that went over and he stood over her, and you're thinking, man, that guy's cruel. I mean, this girl's collapsed on the ground and he's not helping her. But to touch her, if he had touched her, she would have been disqualified. And so he went to her and he said, are you okay? Can you make it? If I touch you, you're out. Can you make it? Can you make it on your own? And she got to her feet and she stumbled across the finish line. She made it, and her team ended up winning state because she crossed the finish line. To finish strong, we must be prepared to go it alone, even though we have one another. Did you know this? We can fail each other. Did you know that? You know, people, we're broken, we mess up, we can fail each other. Only Christ will never disappoint us. Second thing, to finish strong, we must let go of our hurts. Let go of our hurts. Many people don't finish strong in the faith because they give up because they got hurt. A preacher hurt me. I see it all the time. Why have you been out of church for the last 30 years? Well, 30 years ago, a family in our church hurt us. A pastor hurt us. They spend the rest of their life nursing a grudge and reliving the hurt. Listen to Paul in verse 14. Alexander the metalworker, how he handled it. Alexander the metalworker did a great deal of harm, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Paul did not take vengeance into his own hand. He was like, Alexander's got a deal. He's got to face the Lord. He's got to face the Lord. And then he said, again, what I just read, but the rest of it, he said, at my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. What did he say next? May it not be held against them. The people who had hurt and disappointed Paul, he was basically saying, the Lord will repay them for what they've done. May it not be held against them. He was asking for mercy for them. Jesus himself, we know Jesus as he's hanging on the cross, and if anyone ever had reason to just zap us all, it was Jesus. And he's whipped, and he's beaten, and he's nailed to a cross unjustly, yet he did that intentionally for our sake. He's hanging on the cross, and he looks down, and in the very next passage, right after he says this, they're gambling for his clothes. He's looking down at these soldiers who have nailed him to the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen, which was the first official martyr of the church in Acts chapter 7, he's being stoned for sharing the gospel. And he's the first recorded martyr of the church. It says he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Colossians, Paul again in the book of Colossians, he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have had against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, on a personal note, you know, it's easy for me to preach forgiveness when I have no animosity in my heart for anyone. But recently, I want to tell you, I'm just confessing to you, I have been having to work hard to forgive a person. They're not in my church, so you're all okay. Nobody's made me mad. I may have made you mad, but you haven't made me mad. But this is someone who has hurt someone close to me. And that's worse than hurting me. You hurt my family, it hurts deep. And I am crying out to God for God to give me the eyes to see this person the way he sees them. And it's a battle. And I'm not there yet. I'm just getting real with you this morning. I'm not there yet. To finish strong, we can't, you know, unresolved anger takes root in our heart. Do we hear that, church? It's like its claws take hold in our heart and it turns to bitterness. And I see people, especially older people, you can just tell the difference between someone who is bitter with life and they die bitter. They don't like anybody. And then you see people, older people, who just have a joy, just a radiant joy in their spirit. And you know they have been hurt in their lifetime, but they've been able to not let it take root in their hearts. You know, it's really interesting to me, in this same passage in verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." If you know, if you've read Acts, guess what? In Acts chapter 15, Paul wasn't too happy with Mark. He didn't like Mark too much. In fact, Barnabas and Paul were talking about who they should gather and where they should go next on their ministry outreach. And Barnabas wanted to bring Mark, which is also they also known as John Mark. He wanted to bring Mark, and Paul said, "No, you know, we were doing ministry the other day, and Mark quit on me. Mark quit on me. I don't want him with us." And it wasn't really that he hadn't forgiven him. It was just like, this guy's not trustworthy. I don't trust him. I don't want him with us. And it was such a heated debate that Paul and Barnabas decided, I tell you what, you take this guy and I'll take this guy and we're going to go different directions. But, you know, God even uses that. Guess what happened? They doubled their efforts. Twice as many people were hearing the gospel, even in the midst of that. But what I find interesting is that now we find in 2 Timothy, towards the end of his life, that not only is Paul obviously gotten over that, Paul's saying, hey, when you come to me, Timothy, bring Mark, because he's been helpful in my ministry. Paul had obviously forgiven Mark. Third thing, to finish strong, we need to lean into the finish line. Lean into the finish line. Now, this is really interesting in this letter. This sounds like Paul's in prison, and it sounds like this is it. I'm at the end, and it's almost like his last will and testament. Doesn't it kind of give you that feel? Verse 6, he says, "The time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." It's almost like saying, I want the old rugged cross sung at my funeral. Doesn't it kind of sound like that's where he's at? I don't think the old rugged cross was around then. But Paul is bidding farewell to Timothy and to his ministry and to the world. But then he goes on, but it's like, well, I'm coming to the end, but it's like, just in case God's got a few more months or a few more days or a few more years for me. Verse 9, he says, "Come to me quickly, Timothy. Get Mark and bring him with you. When you come, bring the cloak, my scrolls, especially the parchments." Does it almost sound like that he's saying, I'm coming to the end, but just in case, I still got things I can do. If God sees fit to leave me here for just a little while longer, I got gospel to preach. Lean into the finish line. Did you know that you don't graduate from being a Christian? A lot of people think that. they think, well, I've been serving the church for 40 years. Somebody else's turn. No, it's not. It's your turn. It's all of our turn. We don't graduate. Now, we may, as we get older, we may not be able to do everything we did when we were at a younger age, but there's always something to do. And I'm going to embarrass them. They'll get mad at me, but that's all right. Pete and Betty Martin, every Sunday they come and they stuff our bulletin inserts. They can do that. Now I'm really going to embarrass you. Pete, aren't you 90? Last time you checked, you were 90, right? 89. Who told me you were 90? Somebody lied to me. 89. Well, I'd say that's close enough. Betty, we won't ask Betty, but she's close to that. They're still engaged in the kingdom. They're leaning into the finish line. It's not like, I've already done that. It's time for somebody else. I mean, and I could talk about all of our builders class down here. I'll tell you what, we got the coolest senior adults in the city of Abilene. If you don't know them, you need to get to know them. We got the coolest seniors in all of Abilene. Paul says again to the church of Philippi, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's this leaning into the finish line. I'm not done yet. When they put me in the grave, I'll stop. To finish strong, we lean into the finish line. The fourth thing, to finish strong, we need to realize that Jesus empowers us. His Holy Spirit empowers us. He says in verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side. So he's talking about all these struggles that he's had and all this opposition he faced in this broken world. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. Paul is at the end of his life. He's leaning into the tape. And he recognizes that the Lord is his strength, and his mission is that the message of the gospel might be fully proclaimed. I just want to encourage you this morning. We talked a lot about Jesse Edmondson last week, but I want to mention Jesse one more time here. You know, I do a lot of funerals, and I'll just tell you, I mean, some funerals are challenging to do. And I've had people that I didn't even know that the funeral home will call me and ask me to do a funeral for someone that didn't have a church home. And I've done many of those. And sometimes when I visit with the family, I'm like, I don't know if these people knew the Lord or not. I mean, I've had some strange conversations in some of those settings. But I never lie. What I do is I present the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really when you're not sure where someone is, you just present the hope that we have in Christ, and that's the way I handle that. But I want to tell you that people like Jesse Edmondson, they write their own funeral. Their life, they're penning their memorial as they live. And it just blesses me when I see people that have lived a faithful life and they have finished strong. Now that we fall like I did in that race, we fall along the way, but God is not so much worried about how many times we fall, but how many times we get up and we continue to finish strong. Someday I want to meet face to face with my Maker, and I want Him to say that you fought a good fight and you finished the race. You kept the faith. Now I've got a crown of righteousness for you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Is that your heart this morning? I mean, the Christian life is not when we're baptized, we're done. That's it. I've got my ticket. I'm good. That's not the Christian life at all. The Christian life is being faithful, that when we have the hope of Jesus Christ, that we tell somebody. You hear me say that every week when I close the service. Go tell somebody. Because we have church good news. Did you know? If you have good news, raise your hand this morning. Every one of us that are in Christ, we have good news. If you had the cure of cancer in your pocket, would you share it? If you had it right here, would you share it? Certainly we would. We have better news than that. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you, if you would, just bow your heads this morning. And I want you to allow the Lord to speak to your heart, and I want to just ask a question. And rhetorically, if you'll just ask this question to the Lord in your own heart. And the question is this: how am I finishing, Lord? How am I finishing? Father, we pray that you'd take the hurts from our heart, that we wouldn't allow our hearts to be corrupted by unforgiveness, but that you'd purify our hearts. You'd help us to see people the way you see people, especially the ones that aren't very lovable. Give us your heart. Help us to finish strong, Lord. Whatever's holding us back, I pray that you'd convict us this morning. Whatever's holding us back, pride or self-centeredness or laziness or unforgiveness, anything that's holding us back from finishing strong the way you would have us finish, convict us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are patient with us. And that when we fall, you're standing there beside us and you kneel beside us and you say, "Can you make it? Can you make it? Get up. There's still a race to be run. Finish." Thank you, Lord, that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand to close this morning, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I just invite you to say yes to him this morning. I want to say there's not a bigger decision we make in our life than to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So as we close this morning, I'll be up front if you would like to come and visit with me.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of all the nations are awakening to sing. From my heart there comes an anthem Come hear the heavens ring. This is our song, the song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Let the worshipers arise.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Fight the good fight. Finish strong in the faith and finish strong. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, the Paramount Theater.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
I'm surrendering my all.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.